Lord, for the beautiful song service this morning, songs that magnify, lifted up precious name of Jesus. That's what we need this morning, to lift him up, not only from the pulpit as we sing songs, but in our daily life, everything. God has led us, every one of us, no matter if you are a young person or an old person, he leads us in the path where we can come to grips with the fact that he's Lord. He's teaching us illustrations all along the way. He has a way that he wants us to travel. Opportunities, open doors. Many times we do not go through those thresholds. We stop at the other side and wonder if it's Hill, really him speaking to us or not. But then God allows us to go through certain situations that you know that you know. I draw back from my own experiences, some times that God has been extra special to me in my daily walk. Of course, the first time was as a 12-year-old boy when he brought me to grips with the fact that I was lost, undone, needed a Savior. I'll never get over that experience. Don't expect to, don't want to. But then in life's journey, there's other situations he brings you in that, remember he told the Samaritan woman, draw and drink of from me from this well and you'll never thirst. Well, God leads us in the past sometimes, and he knows the future. He knows we'll go through dry spells, dry times. We know he knows that there is a way that seemeth right to man, but God's way is the only way. And I draw back from those special times. I remember one of the most special times in my life when he led me to the most northwest corner of our nation to pray there on the Pacific Ocean, right at the Canadian border, down the gorge, three-quarters of a mile down. I didn't know where it was until I got there. But then as I got there, he came to me there in a way he had never appeared before. When I go on trips that he sent me on, I always take my Bible, a U.S. flag, and my camera. My camera's got me in trouble a lot of times. I'll share with that in a minute. But that time, I always open my Bible, and wherever it falls open, I read. And as I opened my Bible, God spoke to my heart and said, close your Bible. I want to talk to you. Now, that's his word. He holds it in high esteem, but God wanted to talk to me. And in obedience, because I had visited that place he told me to, he spoke to me. I cannot describe it. Paul said the peace that he gives us passeth all understanding. When God tells you something to do and you do it, and he appears to you, I didn't see him visibly. It was just as real. And he spoke to me, communicate with me. I'll never get over that. God brings us to times in our life, such as you go through another dry spell, you recall back to your memory. And pretty soon what you're going through don't even matter anymore, because you know God has been faithful, will be faithful. And then I want to talk to you again, probably the third most important thing in my life to me was one night 30 years ago, went to sleep after I'd read Psalms 148. Turn your Bibles, please, to Psalms 146, 47, 48. I'd read 148 about midnight, went to sleep. Slept about 15, 20 minutes. God woke me up, and for the next 6 hours, showed me Psalms 148 in full display. And he called it God's Hallelujah Chorus of Praise. We know that God gets praise and honor after he tells us to do something and we're obedient. That praises his name. We sing songs. We give glory to him. That praises his name. That's wonderful. But he has a Hallelujah Chorus of Praise, consists of seven different groups, seven being God's perfect number. He created the world in 6 days, but remember, on the last day of creation, he created man. Man is part of that Hallelujah Chorus of Praise, and we'll deal with that this morning and see how we need to be more about staying in tune on our part. We looked briefly last time at the other six groups. We'll look carefully. In the book of Psalms, 22 times he mentions the fact, praise ye the Lord. In the last five chapters, he mentions that phrase 10 times. The first and the last verse of those five, we read those last time. But this morning we're going to look briefly at those. Remember, he starts out in the third heaven where he is. All angels, everything is praising God. Absolutely in June. We don't see that. God does. Then there is a second heaven where all the stars and planets are. Job says when the stars sing for joy, all the billions and billions of stars and the planets God sees, they're different colors and different. They give praise and honor to God. He sees it all. That's part of it. Now, God's seeing all this. And then the third part, he tells us in verse 7, the expanse of the universe from the very depths of the sea all the way up. Everything he gave, he talks about the dragons and the deeps praising God. And then the other group would be in the first heaven where he says in verse 8, fire and hail. He sees all the lightning storms around the country and around the world. Snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Why? To give honor and glory to praise. All those are perfectly in tune because God orchestrates it. God plans it. I've always been amazed at the conductor. Not only the one that can compose these great songs, but the ones that writes it all down, every key, every note, and then an orchestra that plays it with a conductor out there. Well, God is not only the conductor, he's the composer. He has written, and he makes sure that everything is going to be in tune according to his praise and honor and glory. But then he talks in verse 9, mountains and hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. That's the next part of God's hallelujah course of praise. All the blooming trees and all the fruit, everything on planet earth, he sees that. That's part of his hallelujah course of praise. Then in verse 10, he says, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. We see sometimes you go to seashore or you see geese going overhead and you hear a little of it and you see it. Wow, that's praise God. God sees every flap of the wing, every sound the animals make. He sees it all. Then we come to the seventh part of God's hallelujah course of praise. We'll deal with that somewhat this morning. It takes us a few messages to deal with it. When God showed me those 6 hours, he gave me 49 more messages after the first one. I won't have that. I didn't take notes. If God shows you something, you will not forget it. If you tell me something, I may or may not forget it. And no doubt I'll forget part of it. But I found out when God shows you something from his throne room, you don't have to write. How can you write down the glory there is in communicating with God? Impossible. But you can retain it, and you can rejoice in your heart. We want to look this morning at man's part, and just one part of that, how man has fallen, man is distorted. We creatures of God, that should be the hallelujah course of praise, that's all in tune, but we're not. We know that across the globe. I want to look this morning at just one thought, reasons to praise ye the Lord. We'll find these reasons in those last a few chapters of the book of Psalms. Let's go through those as fast as we can, and then Lord willing, next week or when I preach again, not only the reasons of praising God, but the resolutions or the ways we praise God. You say, praise you, the Lord, praise you, Lord. How we praise the Lord. May take 2 or 3 messages to do that. But there's many ways in God's word. He tells us to praise ye the Lord. We won't have time to deal with that this morning. But let's look at the thought, reasons that God gives that we praise the Lord. Let's look at Psalms 146, verse 1. That is, begin these 10 different praise ye the Lord statements in the last chapters of the book of Psalms. And the reason he gives us now, the reason for it helps our soul to be under subjection. Remember what Paul says? I die daily. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. But yet he says, I have to bring myself daily under subjection. Why? Because he's in the flesh. You and I are in the flesh. And with your whole heart, or with my whole heart, I want to praise God. I want to praise you, the Lord. But from the fleshly standpoint, there's many ways I don't praise God. My intents may be good, and my intentions may be good. But at the same time, if you start thinking about the reasons, it'll help you get in the frame of mind. So let's look first of all, it helps bring us under subjection. That's all what we need. We need to be brought under subjection. He says in that 146 verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, O my soul. The soul, the intellect, the very essence of mankind is the soul, the heart, the intentions, the frame of mind that we have. That is what we need to bring under subjection. It is our minds, our will, our heart. Oh, my soul. It helps bring it under subjection. Well, let's go to the Word of God and look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, and learn a little bit more about the need to be under subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember now, if we have reasons to praise the Lord, we need to get our hearts in it. We need to get our souls in it, our intellect, our very minds, our very being, our desire. Hebrews 2, 7 and 8. Thou maketh him a little lower than the angels. That's you, and that's me. We are made lower than the angels. To be that seventh part of God's hallelujah course of praise. Thou crowneth him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hand. That was Adam, of course, but he faltered, he fell. He had a wife that God gave him, Eve, the mother of all living. And because of Adam and Eve falling, the first Adam fell, then she is the mother of all living. She's your ex-mother and my mother also. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. God created man to be under subjection. But there's a failure, there's a fall, there's a discourse. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him, because we have faltered, we have failed. I guess you could say simply, we're out of tune. If there were an orchestra up here, and we've had several in our church over the years, and I love it, but if there's one of those instruments badly discoursed, it messes the whole group up. Well, remember, God's got hallelujah, course of praise, the whole universe, and we mankind, his seventh part, God's perfect number, are badly out of tune. So let's you and I try to get ourselves back in the will of God and tune with him, under subjection to him, and look at some reasons. First of all, we know it helps us be under subjection to praise the Lord. Well, let's look at that phrase, oh my soul. Interesting phrase. I always like when I see a phrase like that, go back to the Word of God and say, first time he uses that phrase, oh my soul. And now look at every phrase, every time he uses it 14 times. 14, the number of redemption, the number of salvation. Oh my soul. The psalmist is saying, I want to praise you, the Lord, my soul. Get in phase with God. Get in the right the frame of mind, get your mindset to praise you the Lord. It helps us when you start praising God to get your thoughts and your minds on the things of God. So the first mention will be in Genesis chapter 49, verses 5 through 7. Interesting, because we see Jacob has called all his sons to his bedside, and God has told him to tell them what befalls them in the future. And he talks to Simeon and Levi, and he uses this phrase for the first time, oh, my soul. Why? Because man's out of tune. Those two boys had faltered, had failed big time, just as you have and just as I have. And now remember, the psalmist is saying, let's bring ourselves back under subjection. Let's look at Genesis 47, 49, 5, and 7. 49, 5, and 7. Simeon and Levi, or brethren. He gave every one of his sons a lecture from God, of course. Jacob didn't know their future, but God did. Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Oh, my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, And in their self-will, they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. And now we see that all of creation, the Bible says, all of creation groaneth and travaileth for the coming of the Lord. So, oh my soul, getting gear personally, he's telling Simeon and Levi and the other boys are looking on too, that because of their distrust, because of their anger, because of their cruelty, because of their living their lives, because of them being out of tune, oh my soul, get your mind, get your heart, get your feelings, get your assets fixed on the things of God. But I'm interested in the very next verse after that. Oh my soul, they're out of tune, but look at the next verse. It starts talking about praise. He didn't have to say the word because he said Judah. Judah, remember, is in the Christ is in the lineage of Judah. And when he said Judah, the very word means praising. Oh, my soul, start praising. Let's read that verse. Verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before them. He spends several more verses telling about Judah. Why? Because Christ Jesus is going to be born of the lineage of Judah. And now mankind, oh my soul, was out of praise. But Jesus, through Christ Jesus, praise is going to be delivered. And you and I can start getting back in tune with God. Praise you, the Lord, because of Christ Jesus being born of Judah and being God's only begotten Son. So we've looked, first of all, at one reason. It helps us be under subjection. Number two, it helps us get a heavenly perspective. Well, that's what we need. We listen to the news. We talk to one another. We see the pandemic. We see things going bad, political and every other way. Boy, we need to get a heavenly perspective. Well, the best way we can do that after we were under subjection under him is to get a perception, and that was found in Psalms 146, verse 10. The second time he uses this, oh, praise you the Lord, in these last five divisions of the psalm. In that verse, he says, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, and to all generations praise ye the Lord. So we see when we start praising the Lord, we're talking about reasons that God gives that you and I need to praise the Lord. First of all, helps bring us under subjection to him, and now it helps us when we praise the Lord, that gives us a heavenly perspective. Look what he said again. It is good to sing praise unto God. It is pleasant. And praise is comely. Praise is comely. It means it's present tense. It means it's peace. It means tranquility. When you and I start praising the Lord after we're under subjection to him, all sins forgiven, heart's desire and tune with him, oh my soul, and then we start thanking on him and we praise the Lord. He draws us close. Remember what James says? Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to thee. Well, how do we do our part? We start drawing close to him by praise and honor. Get your soul in gear. Get your heart in gear. And then we start seeing him as he is. And what did he say? It is good to sing praise to God. It is pleasant. When we sing praise to God, we're only talking about one thing. Next week or the week after, whatever it is, we're going to be talking about ways we praise God. Well, one way right now is singing unto him. We've heard that this morning. Beautiful songs that praise the Lord. When we sing with our heart and we lift up our voices to him, it helps us get a heavenly perspective. And when we do that, it gets your whole body. Now, I love music. I love heavenly music, and I love music that exalts Jesus. But a lot of the music you hear this day and time in a lot of places don't do a thing to get your soul in gear. It gets a flesh in gear. And if you get the flesh in gear before the soul gets in gear, you're in a heap of trouble. Because the flesh stays in gear all the time. I'm talking about the fleshly desires of man stays at the forefront of our mind most of the time. And when the flesh is in control, the spirit is not in control. But when you hear songs and when you sing songs that get your heart and your soul in tune with heaven, then the body will react. It may be running, jumping in the pews. That's okay. It may be shouting, may be lifting up your hands, but there'll be a smile on your face. There'll be joy in your soul. Why? Because you've drawn near to him, under subjection to him. And now when you do that, it helps you get a heavenly perspective, and the soul is in gear. And don't worry about what the body does, because the soul's going to be taking care of that. Remember, the real us is a soul inhabited in the body. The body has faltered and failed. You say, well, I'm saved. My soul's saved. My spirit's saved. But I'm sorry to tell you, my flesh is not saved. I thought I got saved all the way. No, no, no. I'm still in the flesh. If you think, you know, the soul that lives within you cannot sin, that's God saved. We're still in the flesh. Paul says, I die daily. Why? Because he sinned daily. He admitted that. And you and I do also. But we're talking about ways and reasons we need to praise the Lord. Number three, let's look what we're supposed to do and that harmonious to our health. Let's read verse 10, and then we're going to 147. The Lord shall reign forever. Verse 10. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. Start thinking about the God of heaven. We're down here, we're temporal. If you go through sorrows and despair and heartaches, don't worry too awful much about it, because the Bible says, and it came to pass. The good news is when you get a sickness, hopefully you're going to get over it. A high percentage of the time we will. And when things go bad and things don't go as you think they ought to go, even though they're going the way God wants them to go, it kind of gets us out of tune with him. But when you start looking and say, the Lord shall reign forever, that means if he reigns, we shall reign with him also. And now we're looking at him and we're saying, hey, you're on the throne. You're going to stay on the throne. My life down here is temporal. It may be 10 or you may be 20, and none of us are quite 100 yet. Some of us might be approaching a little bit on the heavy side, but that's okay. Start getting the thought about heavenly mindset, that God's going to reign forever and ever, and we get that heavenly perception, and then it's harmonious to our health. You know, health means a lot. I have been so sick in my life, and you probably have too. I'm not talking about myself necessarily this morning, but you get so sick in the body and so feeble, whatever, you can't pray. Can't pray. I've been to the place I couldn't pray. I've been to the place where I couldn't read. I've been in the place that I definitely did not want to talk to anybody. I was so sickly. In fact, I had peritonitis. I was dying, 35 days in the hospital, and the doctors pretty much said he's dying. Everything in my system is dying. But during those 35 days, particularly the last 10 days, he started talking to me, asking me questions about the Word of God. And I'm so proud I knew it in my heart. He had showed me those answers, and I'm proud that, thank God, I gave him good answers. He said I did, at least. And during those days when I could not do anything because of my health, he says that this scripture that we just read in verse 10 and Psalms 147:1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praise in the Lord. It is pleasant, it is good. It helps her health. And when you get healthy and body, it's much easier to praise the Lord. Every one of you will attest to that. When you're feeling good physically, it's easier to praise the Lord. It's easier to smile. When you're sickly and you're praising the God, it's really hard. Well, he's telling us how to have a harmonious upbeat. And if you start praising God, as he said, it is comely, it is pleasant to praise the Lord, Psalms 147:1. So we've seen three ways now that we are promised God's holy word will help us, endure us, and get us closer to the throne room. And these are ways, not only ways, these are requirements. It is things that God expects us to do, and it's reasons that he gives us that we need to praise the Lord. But I want to look at the fourth one. Look at the fourth one, because why do we praise the Lord? Why does he tell us to praise you, the Lord? In Psalms 148, verse 11 through 14, because it honors him and it honors his word. And when you and I honor and live a life of obedience to him and just do what he said to do, it helps us praise the Lord. And when you start praising the Lord, you get under subjection, you get heavenly minded. Even if you're not healthy, it's harmonious to your health at the same time. And when you start honoring and lifting up the name of Jesus, it brings glory to God. And when you give glory to God, he will start exalting you. Look what he says in Psalms 148, verse 11 through 14, honoring and praising God and his word. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Pretty much combined us all, did he not? Those that's high in office, the youngest among us, and the oldest among us. We're all included now in things that will give God honor and praise. And he says in verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. One of the first two songs we sang was about Jesus. What a wonderful name. And the thought came back to me when I was in a particular place one time, and it seemed as all hell was squeezing me. And it seems as though Satan was almost there to choke me, to devour me. And in the middle of the night, I woke up horrified, and I just called out, Jesus. You know, instantly, at the name of Jesus, the songwriter says demons had to flee. Satan has to flee at the name of Jesus. And here we have given, when we give honor and praise to his name alone is excellent, his glory is above the earth and heaven. And when we say the name of Jesus from the abundance of our soul, after we're under subjection to him, we were heavenly minded, and it's harmonious to our health, and now we're exalting him. Why? Because we honor his word and we honor his name. Then he is pleased, and the demons have to flee. Don't mean they won't come back, but we're drawing close to God, and he promises, and he will draw nigh to thee. And having him draw nigh to you is the most pleasurable thing in all the world. You can go through any hardship. I have been through a few, and you've probably been through some even worse. But no matter what we're going through, there's a way that we can praise the Lord if we'll be obedient. There are reasons he gives us to praise the Lord. Let's read that 14th verse. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. When you and I honor God by giving him honor and praise because he told us to, if there was no other reason, we've seen these other reasons, and we'll see another one, and there's many more. But if there was only one reason, praise ye the Lord because his word says so, he expects us to, and that alone within itself will draw us close to him, and he'll get close to us. And God is so honored in that. But I want to look lastly at the honor of his saints gets enforced when we praise and honor him. I've never seen this before. But I want to look at Psalms 149, verses 1 through 9. As usual in these Psalms, the first verse and the last verse of these Psalms deal with the subject, praise ye the Lord. Let's read the entire 9 verses. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. We've done that this morning. We have sung a song, many songs to him, a new song, and every song we sing is a new experience. Every time our soul engages and gets right with God, our mind, our heart, the real us gets in, and we get rid of the earthly problems for a while, and we're communicating with God, and it's a harmonious, healthy process, and we're giving praise and honor to him, then he in heaven's going to do something for us too. He'll tell us in a minute. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. There's something about the soul of man once he saves us and secures us. And he's our Heavenly Father. And when we start pleasing him, he takes pleasure in that. Well, if you want God's blessings, you learn how to get God taking pleasure in you, and you are going to be bestowed with blessings on blessings on blessings. That's what we need in this day. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints, we're reading verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron. Listen to this verse. To execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. God has out there within their grips, within their reach, within the ability to have him honor the saints, all the saints. How would we get God to honor us? This is something that it'll be enforced when we learn to take pleasure in serving him. And you don't do it. Now, a lot of times we do things, admittedly, we know God requires it. Okay, God requires it. I'm going to do it. Flesh don't want to. We know that. And most of the time, since we're not in the spirit of God, we're in this world with the things of the world dictating the way we live, the way we behave. The soul is not perfectly in gear with him. Saved, yes, but reserved. And the flesh has its right of way in their heart so many times. But when we get the soul engaged, for the reasons that God says. But the real reason God's going to look at now is you do it because you love him. Yes, we do it to honor him. That's wonderful. We do it because he says so. That's good. But when the heart really wants to. I mean, there's coming to church all my life from the time my mother was even carrying me and she walked before we didn't have automobiles in those days, not my house at least. And I've known nothing else as a child except go to church. I'll tell you something if you won't tell anybody. We get up on a cold morning sometimes, walking 2 miles to church as a little boy. I didn't want to go. I wouldn't dare tell my daddy and mama I didn't want to go. In fact, we were not asked. Hey, boys, you want to go to church? We didn't even discuss it. Sunday morning, Sunday night. One thing to do, go to church. But my heart wasn't always in it. And during those days when my heart wasn't in it, I didn't get much out of church service. And this morning, hopefully you're here because you couldn't wait to be in the house of God, to honor him, to please him. Not just because he said to, because your heart was in gear and your soul, oh my soul, you desired with all your heart to be here because you want to draw near to him. He takes pleasure in that. In the last verse we read, to execute upon them, you and I, the saints, the judgment written, that he will honor his saints. Praise you, the Lord. How's he going to do that? Look what he says. Or we've got a lot of people in our nation and in the world today that they're heathen. I didn't call them heathen. God called them heathen. Heathen because they don't recognize who God is. They hate the name of Jesus. We know that. Well, there's a way of getting God's attention to his saints to honor us. And then he's going to execute some judgment. Look what he says. Verse 6. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth. my mouth, your mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. That's the word of God. In their heart and in their hand. And he will execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron. A lot of times we may even pray or we in our heart desire that God will come down and in a mighty way get those heathen saved. That's my heart's desire. Save them, God. But you and I know most of them, many of them at least, will not get saved. We know that. That God could save them, but they don't. We heard Brother David's prayer this morning. They don't want to be saved. They have a right, a God-given right that, okay, I can refuse God. And those heathens, many of them, are God-haters, God-deniers, and they're doing destruction in their nation. They're doing destruction in the world. And we would like God just to come down and do vengeance. And, well, we just found out how to get God's attention in this matter. He'll start honoring the saints, and it's how God puts in force the honor that he bestows upon his saints. How do we do all this? From our heart, from the abundance of our heart. Oh, my soul, get engaged in the things of God, your mind, your will, harmonious to your health. It gets the attention of heaven. It honors God, and it puts the blessings of God upon the honor that he wants to give his saints. Can you believe that? We honor God. Well, the Bible says he wants to honor us. He'll honor us when we honor him. Would you stand this morning, your heads bowed? Five reasons, and there's hundreds more, that we are to praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord is a wonderful subject, and there are many, many, many ways we do that. We'll talk about that later, but right now, you know enough to know that you have reasons to praise the Lord. Altar's open. If you'll come and seek God's face, he'll help you get that soul in gear. Oh, my soul. And remember, he talked to Simeon and Levi and the rest of the children of Israel and you and I. They'd done evil. They'd transgressed. They'd done awful things. And he said, God says, oh, my soul, forgiveness of our sins, trespasses, shortcomings, and get in tune with the Lord our God. Brother Ray, you have a song of invitation God puts on your heart. We have reasons to praise you, the Lord. Let's take advantage of it that we can. And God has given us opportunities to. He's opened doors. He's opened windows of opportunities. And when he does, walk through them. And I've told you a few of the times that because I walked through some opportunities he gave me, that he blessed me and gave me memories that I'll never forget and ways I'll never forget how he came to me. Why? Because I'm special. I'm a nobody from nowhere. But God honors those that will honor him. You honor him by praising ye the Lord, the name of the Lord. Brother Rand, altar is open. Draw close to him. He will draw close to you. We need that closeness. We need that fellowship in these days.